nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer.
All right, gardening friends. Welcome to another edition of In the Garden with Master Gardener Ed Byarski. Thank you to the Flower Farm for supporting this program. They've got dahlias and colorful cut flowers out there that'll brighten your day. Subscriptions available for bouquets with delivery. And they've got lots of annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, dirt, and mulching bark. You can check them out down at the greenhouses at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing, every day but Wednesday.
Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on a side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle. Homegrown
tomato. And we've got Master Gardener on Ed Byarski on the line. We're talking this week about garlic. What to harvest, when, how, what to do with it. And if you want to join in on this conversation, you can. The number is 772-3808 to ask a question of our Master Gardener, Ed Byarski. Ed, how are ya?
I'm pretty good. And we have had 4 days... 4 days of dry weather. I haven't had to wear my rubber suit. It has been quite pleasurable. Even though can't say we've had sun, it's still cloudy and 60 degrees or so. But, hey, I'll take that after what we've been going through.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're getting a little bit of dry time to work in slightly less mucky conditions.
Indeed, it's been good, and I have just started the garlic harvest. I've been looking at mine, and I'm looking at the weather at the same time, mm-hmm. and trying to decide, okay, is it time to harvest or not? And certain varieties are more mature than others, and we can tell that. We look at the plants, look at the calendar and look at the weather, but the plants at least will tell us if you've left scapes on hardneck garlic, mm-hmm. the scapes, as they grow, they come out, they come up fairly straight, and then they curl, and if you leave them on and don't take them off, they uncurl, and eventually then they will be standing straight up as the scapes mature, mm-hmm. and the little bulbils inside them. Mm-hmm. So if you have some of those as your timer, and once they straighten up, so they're pointing up, it's definitely time to get them out of the ground, get the garlic out of the ground.
Right, right.
Alternatively, look at the lower leaves. So if the lower 3 or 4 leaves are turning yellow, that's another indication of maturity, relative maturity. Mm-hmm. The lower stem, likewise, will start to turn yellow. And, of course, you can just go ahead and dig a few of them, you know, selected ones in different areas. And if you've got multiple varieties, again, I've gotten an idea over many years of growing garlic which ones are more mature sooner. Many of these right now, they're nice and solid and green. The stems are, that is. The leaves are still very green, so I'm going to... And looking at the forecast, next week is looking at maybe a similarly fairly dry week.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give them at least another week. Normally, I'll have all my garlic out by the 1st of August. Mm-hmm. Things certainly are growing slower. I've talked to other gardeners who have... it's quite obvious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we finally just got our first blueberries for pancakes last Sunday.
Oof.
12 days late compared to normal.
Uh-huh.
So all of these indicators mean, yeah, I can kind of stretch my harvest out a little bit later because of it being cooler, but again, they will need to come out. And we want to be careful when we dig these. Mm-hmm. One more thing to look for before you start digging your garlic out is looking to see that if you have any stems right at the soil level, if there's any indication of mold growing, and it's if you're going to see it, it's likely to be looks like gray mold.
Mm-hmm.
Those garlic plants you want to remove first and get them away from all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
to minimize contamination. That gray mold can go into the plant and into the stems, and then it can actually, even though you're trying to cure these and dry them out in a nice warm spot, I use my furnace room, works, because of the waste heat there. You can still get mold inside, so you might think, okay, my garlic is nice and dry and all of that, but if you go to peel back those clove skins, the outer skins of the bulb, you may still find mold inside, which is bad news. They can't be stored, and, I mean, you can eat them quickly. What I've done when I found those on some other years, I'll actually take those separately, peel them, and even dip them in a little bit of vinegar to try to kill the mold spores. And even then, where I normally do not refrigerate garlic, these I would, and to store and to use as quickly as possible.
Right. If you're putting them in the fridge, they're going to sprout more quickly, right?
And so, well, again, with these, like I say, they have had some of the mold on them. So
just eat those first.
Garlic normally won't sprout for a couple of months normally. And if you've got the right storage conditions, you can stretch it out considerably longer. But this, but at this point, we want to dig, and I normally use a digging fork. Again, depends on how heavy or light your soil is. Some of these I can pull out gently, you know, just by hand if they come out. But sometimes if you're, especially if you wait too long and the connection weakens between the stem and the inside of the bulb, you know, you might pull out the stem from the bulb, which, again, is not what you want. So if you use a digging fork to loosen the soil and back it off a ways away from the cloves, the bulbs, so you don't spear, you know, kind of like we hate to spear potatoes. Well, I really hate to spear garlic bulbs.
Right.
So you want to be very careful. Loosen the soil, and then they'll come out, and then gently brush soil off the bulbs. You can take them just like that and hang them up to dry, or you can very briefly, if you've got some buckets of clean water, take a bunch of 10 or so and slosh them in that real quick. And again, hang them up, let them dry. And again, we want to dry them out very as quickly as possible. So usually I've got racks that have, I mean, the racks have holes in them. There's something I recycled from Costco years ago. So I can lay, I have these and they stack in my furnace room. So I can do hang them, put them on those racks. Try to label if you're, you know, if you're keeping track. I do, since I've got a dozen varieties or so. I want to keep track of varieties. And otherwise, you can also make bunches. Take bunches of about 10 or so stems, the whole stalk, and use some twine or some light wire, tie them up in a loose bunch, and then hang them up to dry. So a place where they get good air circulation. If you use a, have a fan in there, that's a very good thing. Also, again, circulating air. We want to get these things to dry. So that is the critical thing. And we're going to leave these. I will leave the stems on, stems and the roots on the whole plant will be hung up there for probably 2 to 3 weeks as they dry. And then you'll notice that the outer skins get very papery and dry, and you can just, and that's one way that you can clean them then. You can just rub off those outer loose skins. And then we clip off the roots with a heavy-duty pair of scissors or shears or even pruners. Hand pruners work quite well for that. And then trim back the stems also. To, I mean, for storage, for convenient storage, I usually trim them back to about 2 inches long or so. And so that works well for me. And one thing you can do if, again, if you're growing multiple varieties and want to help keep track, you can, we can cut the stems at different lengths. So you have kind of a gauge. So you might cut, you know, Georgian crystal might be cut square across at a 2-inch stem. And Romanian red, I mean, these are all varieties of garlic that I grow, I might cut that at a 4-inch long stem, square. And maybe the German extra hardy, that one I might cut at a 2, it might still have a 2-inch stem, but I'll cut it at an angle. so you can kind of see at a glance, mm-hmm. and of course you write down what your, you know, what your code is mm-hmm. for these different garlics and what how the stems are left on them.
I love it.
So you know what you've got to handle.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
So this, and it's not my idea. I can honestly say this came from Joe Orsi here, another great garlic grower in Juneau, and he and we will be eventually will be selling garlic at the local markets here. And there's the new, I don't know if you've heard of it yet. It's just started in Haines and Juneau, maybe coming to Petersburg potentially. The Salt and Soil Marketplace,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and this is something where folks can sell both garden produce, jams and jellies, and other assorted stuff, herbs, dried stuff like that. But also, they're also selling fresh and frozen seafood through this, and people can order order this every week. The different vendors post what's available, and then the members of this, kind of like a co-op,
mm-hmm.
pretty close.
Like a digital
and then,
co-op.
And then order it and then pick it up here.
Okay, so there's no shipping? It's all picked up in person?
This is all local in Juneau or in Haines. And
cool.
Like I say, you can look it up. If you look it up online, Salt and Soil Marketplace,
mm-hmm.
I think there is hope for it to expand around Southeast Alaska and maybe beyond.
Yeah.
But again, this is trying to get vendors together mm-hmm. with consumers
mm-hmm.
For local produce. That's the goal here. That's
I love
as
it.
Possible.
Wow, that's really cool. Yeah, yeah, because after our local market season closes down here in September, that's the kind of thing we would love to have access to. Cool.
Right, and this, you know, and again, here we have, there's a limited number of markets, as you, just like you have, mm-hmm. we do too. But this is a way that there is one of the a local, it's actually a seafood seller,
mm-hmm.
and the folks with the marketplace are working with them to take advantage of his, he's got cooler space.
Oh.
So the vendor delivers the produce on, I think it is Thursday. I'm not yet a member, but I'm about to become. And then folks pick it up. You know, shortly, like on Friday or something like that.
Cool.
So there's a timing. You've got so many. You've got several days to look at what's available, place your order, and then the stuff is delivered and it can be picked up quickly. So it's a weekly thing, and you know, which is an ideal situation because stuff ripens and
mm-hmm.
Gets ready. And soon, I will be having raspberries and blackberries that will need to get moved, need to be eaten,
mm-hmm.
need to be picked and eaten, and along with all the other assorted stuff.
Cool. Wow, that's great. I'm glad you're getting involved with that, and I look forward to hearing how it goes for you and learning all about that. That's super awesome.
I know. I've talked to some of the other folks who are starting to do it. Of course, the produce is just coming on. Fish, again, I know folks who are selling salmon and crab and other assorted stuff through this.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it is the ideal opportunity for getting people together with good fresh food.
I love it. That is cool. I get excited about every time, you know, we're able to connect local food producers, harvesters, growers with local bellies, local families, local dinner tables, and it there's a lot of different ways to make those connections, and I like them all. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully folks can grow some of their own, but again, if you can't or you're growing certain things, and I mean, I also swap and trade with people,
mm-hmm.
so again, if to do some different things, so that's a great way to do it too. But again, back to our garlic, again,
yeah.
what we're aiming for, like I mentioned, once we get our garlic cured, say 2-3 weeks down the road from harvest time,
mm-hmm.
Then we do not want to be refrigerating our garlic for
right.
long-term storage.
Right.
So whether you buy a bunch to keep for hopefully through the winter,
mm-hmm.
You want to keep it at usually 50 degrees plus or 55 degrees to 70 degrees. So, you know, and so in a well-ventilated location, that's dry.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we're not going to be refrigerating the garlic that we have. And that's really the best way to keep it. And again, sometimes depending on different varieties keep longer than others. Mm-hmm. So some of them will go into March and April and perhaps a little longer. So that's something we want to be careful of. And again, the better we can get it grown and cured, the better it will store and last for us. So we don't have to do without garlic, which is
unthinkable.
Which is a fate worse than death.
Yes, exactly. Well, so let's do a quick recap here then at the end about our garlic plans. We've got we identify when they're ready to harvest by yellowing leaves near the base and or your scape has curled and now straightened again and boom, it's ready to take out. You're looking for a dry day to do that because you're protecting the outside skins from moisture.
Well, yeah, the dry day isn't as critical or sometimes isn't possible.
Right, right.
Just because. You know, and again, if you don't have to wash it like I am doing it, but again, that can get that dirt off quite quickly, and then again, it's very important to dry it. So if we're really lucky that I had a whole week of sunshine, not likely, but and then get it out. Of course, then the soil just falls right off the outside.
Yeah.
You can just gently rub the soil off it, and call that good rather than washing. The other thing to do to be careful of. If you have any concerns about, like I mentioned, having mold and stuff, now, if you're washing the garlic, you may want to have multiple buckets there. So you are just washing one variety in a bucket and then go to a different clean bucket for your different variety.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you aren't cross-contaminating or infecting one variety from another one that maybe has an issue. So you can be careful about that. You can even put a little bit of bleach in that water. Again, that can potentially cut, or vinegar. In that water that you can do your dip and slosh and pull it out, let them dry off.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're trying to have a minimum of bacteria and fungus on the outside of those cloves. You know, normally garlic has antibiotic properties of its own.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain mildew and mold spores that can grow on it.
Yeah.
So the least we can have, and the warmth and the dryness, again, those are the enemies of the fungus on the, at least on the outside.
Right.
Warmth. If there's fungus inside the skins, you're screwed. No. So that's really quality control is very important when you're doing your planting and harvesting and all.
And maybe one note, too, is when people are pulling out their heads of garlic, if there's any that are visibly damaged at all, there's no little point in trying to cure those. Put those on the eat these first pile, right?
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. And those, you know, you can cut the stems off, and you might still have your own. That might be a separate bucket where you're rinsing those off.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, keep those separate in a different box or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you can eat them up. And again, using some vinegar is really a great way. I mean, you can make garlic vinegar, too, of course, that you might use in cooking or salad dressings or otherwise. But using that to clean them, and again, if you're peeling, if you know that you can see that you've got some moldy cloves or bulbs, you know, you can go ahead and clean those off and do a little garlic or a vinegar soak.
Right.
Then again, dry them off. And like I said, got to use them quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's a good point to leave it at for today. We'll pick it up next week, and we'll probably have a little more to talk about garlic as the harvest is actually underway that week. And all right. Till then.
Okay, good enough. I'll go get back to my weeding in another location without wearing my rubber suit, although we're supposed to have one or 2 days this weekend of wet, but I'll enjoy it while we can.
Okay. Well, Ed, that sounds real good, and maybe I'll do one little plug here. We're getting closer to finalizing the day for our local garden tour, so if there's anybody out there listening who is excited to go on the tour, or has a garden that they're feeling pretty excited about, it's going to be either August 5th or August 6th in the afternoon on that Saturday or Sunday. We're finalizing the dates, but reach out to me here at the station and I'll include you in the process, put you on the list, and we fill up a school bus and cruise around a number of the great gardens in Petersburg and eat and drink enjoy the communal act of celebrating summer growing season. It's a really fun trip. So that's coming up soon, and so out there, if people want to give me a call here at the station or email, orin@kfsk.org, get signed up, and that'll be fun. Garden tour.
Sounds like a good time, Orin. Yeah, we too have garden tours this Saturday, so I'm going to be docent over at somebody else's garden.
Awesome.
This time. So hopefully we get a good crowd and lots of interested people to see different gardens, and that's good for all of us.
It is, yes. Yeah, it's a great exchange. Ideas and inspiration and food and, yes, always fun. Well, I look forward to hearing about how your tours go this weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Sounds good, Doran.
Okay. Till then.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That's another episode of In the Garden with Ed Byarsky. Always a pleasure. We appreciate him so much making the time to share his expertise with us here. The Southeast Alaska gardening community needs our master gardener's knowledge because it can be tricky growing down here, but we make it happen. And thank you again to the Flower Farm. You know, they've got those great greenhouses there at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing, busting out this time of year with dahlias and incredible colorful flowers. You can get subscriptions for bouquets. Good stuff. And lots of other stuff to help you plant and grow your garden. Dirt, bark, trees, shrubs, perennials, annuals. The Flower Farm. 772-3464. They're open every day but Wednesday. And up next, we've got High Country, hosted by Melina Marvin. That's going to be followed by All Things Considered, KFSK Local News at 4:30. Alaska News Nightly at 6 tonight. Classical music on performance today at 6:30 till 9. Then it's selected shorts, short stories read aloud. Radio Free Petersburg is hosted by Chris Weiss tonight at 10. And then it's the BBC World Service. Thanks so much for listening to KFSK. What will I be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy. And that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Tomato seed, 'cause I know what this country needs. It's homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see. When I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden be much better, and I could be pushing up homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown.